Muy buenos días a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite Eutelsat 8.
Good morning to all those who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat satellite today, Sunday, October 26th of this year, 2025. Our subject is David, the eighth son of Jesse, anointed as king of Israel. It was preached on Sunday, February 19 of 2017 in Calle, Puerto Rico. Today we are here in Nazareth, Israel, in the synagogue, where they have told us, and which is the site where, according to history, Jesus read there in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 and on. And they have allowed us to be here today, on this occasion, to record this study for today, Sunday, October 26th of this year, 2025. If you hear people coming in, that's because it's open for tourists to enter. So know that it is because there will be people coming in for sure. And if there aren't, then let's take advantage quickly and get to the subject on this occasion. Let's search in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 to 14, where it tells us, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him for reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Now, here, in the Bible study, he writes there, on top, through Christ, his church is the queen. His children are of David's royalty, the house of David. And he also writes there, Saul, son of Kish, equals leaders by popular election. Let's continue reading writings that he has there in this Bible study of a Sunday for which they prepared it for him and included this scripture there. It goes on to say, "And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? Now here, on the right, in this scripture, from this Bible study, which is the same one, he writes, the sons of Jesse equals the eight messengers of Christ to his church. He draws a cornerstone and the ages, that is, that writing is inside the ages, and at the top he writes eight in the cornerstone. And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And on the left, here on the Bible, he writes, The sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab. Here in the study, there on the scripture, above that he writes, El, a dash, Eab. Eli, Eliab. El, as in the Lord, as in God, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed one is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not unto his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Aminadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, that's the third. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass. He underlines seven sons. And here, in the Bible study, for that occasion, he writes there, Shammah equals Jehovah is present. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And here he writes, "The shepherd of the sheep." Of his father. The shepherd of his father's sheep equals the messenger shepherd of Christ's sheep. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and godly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And he draws a Star of David there on the left. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And here on the left, in this scripture, at the study, he writes, "David, the eighth son of Jesse, and a cornerstone, and the number eight inside." And he writes to the right, "David, the eighth son, equals the eighth messenger." Eight is eternity. It goes back to the beginning. David, the eighth son of Jesse, anointed as king of Israel. You may please be seated if you're so kind. He tells us in the message, "If any man serve me, let him follow me," which was preached on June 29 of 2013 by Dr. William Soto. It tells us, David is mentioned by God as a man after God's own heart, and therefore a man who, as king, will rule and will reign for God. In other words, the main focus of this king will be God and his program for his people Israel. That is why, notice, King David was a prophet, he was also a composer, a poet, he was also a musician and singer, meaning he was, as we say here, someone who liked singing. And he composed, see? And he also sang. He was also known for that. He was also a musician and a singer. In other words, they knew him. He was also a shepherd of sheep. But he also composed and sang. Surely he was the one who brought joy to the house of Jesse there. And all of that revolved around God. That is why we have the Psalms of King David, which are connected to God and his program. In the Bible study for that day, titled David, the eighth king of Jesse, anointed as king of Israel. In this Bible study that we prepared for him, there in the message of the excerpt titled Dedication, he tells us, Brother Branham says, you can see the Psalms, how David is constant thinking of God. Too many of us today think of our own achievements, something that we could do better ourselves, but David was constantly thinking of what he could do for God. And he writes there, David constantly thinking of what he could do for God. How beautiful that is. May each one of us always be thinking of what we can do for God, what we can do for His kingdom. Now, look, here, in a Bible study, He left these words written for us, where it says, He is the heir, but He has to fight for that throne of David. And He also left written for us, a man thinking God's thoughts and speaking them. They are the word of God spoken for his age. David is a man after God's own heart, and the thoughts of God's heart are transmitted to David's heart, and they come to the thoughts of David's heart, just as God put his thoughts into those of Moses. In other words, David had God's heart, meaning he was a man after God's own heart. And also, as a man after God's own heart, well, he had God's thoughts. They came to him as well, as they did to Moses. Now notice, in this other message, David, the eighth son of Jesse, anointed as king of Israel, which was the subject of introduction of the previous Friday. That is, this one that we're going to be seeing is from the 19th. Well, on Friday was the introduction to this subject. And in that message, he tells us, when the time came in which God rejected Saul from being king over Israel, he anointed. David was anointed as king, a young man who already had experiences of God's power manifested through him. And when he was anointed as king, his brothers were there. He was the eighth one, the youngest in the family. And when he was anointed with the oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit, he was anointed to be king then. Therefore, the eighth son of Jesse was anointed to be king over Israel. In the message Desperations, he tells us on page 23 of this message, Reverend William Branham says, notice, her only child, he's talking about the son of the Shunammite woman, that had been given to her by the Lord through the prayer and the promise of a prophet. And thus saith the Lord, she knowed there was something wrong somewhere. It just wouldn't work. How could God give her that son and let her love come to that baby? Yet she never asked for it. She was too old to have it. The hand of God had to produce it. A man spoke it, the prophet. Now, there, he writes, the Shunammite woman equals the church bride. The Shunammite woman's son equals the eighth angel of Jesus. And on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them, the ages, he numbers them from 1 to 7, and the number 8 in the cornerstone. Now, notice that this son was a product of the spoken word of a prophet. Now, the Archangel Gabriel told Joseph to take Mary as his wife because what had been conceived in her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The word had been spoken. Therefore, if Joseph didn't take her, then that messianic ministry could not be manifested as the Son of David. And notice that at this time, God has told him to take the church bride as his wife, because in her and from her, that messianic ministering spirit would come out of to fulfill the work of the second coming of the Lord as claimer. She would give birth to that ministry. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, in this message that we were reading, therefore, David's dynasty continues. And at this time, David's dynasty will be restored, and his kingdom will be restored, and his throne will be restored. The eighth son of Jesse, that is who will be the king over Israel at this time. In the message, proving his word, on page 18, Reverend William Branham tells us, so, we find that in this man, he had to be a prophet, not son of God there. He had to be son of man. Jehovah himself called the prophets, Jeremiah and them, son of man. When you see the son of man, who is the son of man? They kept asking. Then he served his office as son of man. And then he served his office now as son of God. God is a spirit. And when now he served through the church ages as son of God, now, in the millennium, he will be son of David when he sits in the throne of David. And he writes there on the left, son of David as king. He will be heir to the throne, son of David, son of man, son of God, son of David. And it's the same man all the time. Just like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the office of God. And above he writes, God the Father, God the Son in Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. He was God the Father. Then he became God the Son. Now he is God the Holy Ghost. Not three gods, one God, three manifestations, three attributes of the same God. Now, he tells us in the book of quotations, page 13a, from the paragraph 128, look, he says, now, what did he promise to have vindicated himself in a man, a human flesh, like he did to Abraham, when the Son of Man? There he draws a cornerstone at the top, on the left, and there he places the three titles. But let's read a little bit more, and then we can read what he wrote there at the top. It will be the Son of Man. No, not the Son of God now. The Son of God in the Son of Man. And there he draws a Star of David there to the right. In Ezekiel, the first chapter and second verse, Jehovah called Ezekiel the Son of Man, exactly what Jesus called himself. You understand that through the teaching of the week. And there on the left he writes upwards, the teaching, which is the teaching, and the teaching is being seen, and the teaching is being heard from the great 10th cathedral, the fulfillment of the third pool. Now, see, what is the Son of Man? Prophetic. What was Malachi 4? To be a prophet. What was these things to happen in the last days? Now, he never said when. He said they would happen. They did. Now, you, if he's still the Son of God, the Son of Man, ready to be revealed in the last days on the throne of David, as Son of David, He is that Word, and He has just changed His mask. See, from what could not be seen to what is absolutely declared, the Word made flesh, and He writes on the left, upwards, Son of David, upon the throne. And another line upwards, in the last days, today. And above that, He writes three lines, Son of Man, Prophet, Son of God, Theophany, the Holy Spirit, Son of David, revealed at the last day. And He draws the cornerstone, well, the arrow there, Son of David, revealed at the last day. Therefore, in the last manifestation, which corresponds to the age of the cornerstone, it's a Son of David, because He is the heir to the throne and King of David. That messianic kingdom is established once the king is on earth to establish that kingdom. A kingdom cannot be established without a king. God couldn't rule or reign through someone He had chosen to do that if He hadn't been born yet. First, He had to be born, grow up, and reach a certain age so that God could send for Him to be anointed. See? All that work was always done by God through a man. And that king, well, already had to be at that age to fulfill those works that were entrusted to him after the anointing. Although after his anointing, he continues shepherding sheep after God had anointed him through Samuel. Now, look, in this other message, the mystery of the chief shepherd, preached on October 18 of 1997 in Peru by Dr. William Soto, he says, and now, notice, it was back in the time of King Saul that Goliath appeared, and that a shepherd, anointed with the Spirit of God, for he had been anointed as king, he had the anointing of the king, when Samuel anointed him with the cruse of oil, with the oil from the cruse, which is the type of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was with and in David. Now, notice, in this place where he wrote to us, the life of David, after being anointed, that's where he says, after being anointed, he continued shepherding sheep. He was trained under the anointing. And that is very important. He was trained under the anointing. And there he begins to many little lines, and on the side, well, what I'm going to read to you, he killed bears, he killed a lion, he killed other beasts, he killed Goliath, he married King Samuel's daughter, he killed Philistines and brought their foreskin to Saul, he was persecuted by Saul, at the age of 30 he was crowned king over Judah and Benjamin, and he reigned for 7 years, he was crowned king over the 10 northern tribes, and he reigned over all 12 tribes for 33 years. See, he was crowned as king of Judah and Benjamin, and he was crowned as king over the 10 northern tribes, called the 10 tribes of Israel, that is called of the tribe of Joseph through Ephraim. And another line, plus, that is, he reigned over all 12 tribes for 33 years, and another line, plus the 7 years he had reigned over Judah and Benjamin, for a total of 40 years, and he died at age of 70. Now, he goes on to say here, and we find that this anointed one who was the eighth son of Jesse, was the one who obtained the victory over Goliath. But first, David had been anointed as king, and although he continued to be a shepherd, he was the anointed by God. In the message, Why Cry, Speak, he tells us on page 40 of this message, he says, David, he knew he was anointed and was vindicated to be a good shot. He knowed that he was a good shot. David was anointed, he knew it, and when he stood before Goliath, he never cried, "Oh God, what must I do now? Wait, but I know what you did in the times past. You let me kill a bear, and you let me to kill a lion. But what about this Goliath out there?" He never did that. He just spoke. What did he say? "You will be like they were." He spoke, and he spoke. He underlines that, and he circles it, and went forward. And to the left he writes, "David spoke." The third pull is to speak the word. He never prayed a prayer. He never offered nothing. He knew he was anointed. That instrument at the end of time knows that he was anointed for that purpose. Amen. He was anointed. He was anointed. And that slingshot had proved the right kind of a thing. He had faith in his anointing. Faith in his anointing. Every child of God has faith in their anointing, in the anointing that God has placed upon them, which is that prophetic insight. God has anointed at this time by his spoken word, sons and daughters of God who will be in his likeness, because we are already in his image, in his likeness, by giving us the eternal and glorified body. He had faith in his anointing. He had faith that God could direct that rock right straight in the middle of that helmet there, where the only place could be hit. He was standing there. He knowed he was a good shot. Amen. He knowed God made him that. Amen. He knowed that he had killed a lion. He knowed he had killed a bear, but that was with his earthly father's possession. On the top he writes, "The possession equals the people of God, the sheep of Jesse." Here is his heavenly father's possession. Amen. He didn't get down. "What must I do now, Lord?" He spoke and said, and he writes, he spoke. He didn't get down. He didn't kneel to pray. Therefore, there are things that start to be left behind. Notice, from the dispensation of grace, there are things that are not done. Rather, it is all by the spoken word. There he writes, he spoke, and he draws a star of David there on the right. You will be like the lion and the bear, and here I come. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, sir. He spoke, and he circles. He spoke, too, and also he circles the one before this one, and went forward to meet this Goliath. Oh, my. Regardless of his size, he was a little, ruddy-looking fellow, you know. He wasn't very big. He wasn't very handsome to look at. A little bitty, drawed-up sort of a fellow. The Bible said he was ruddy. David, he writes, David, ruddy. Now, regardless of his size and so-called ability to do so, you know, the bishop told him, said, "Now look here, son, that man is a theologian." And he writes there, Goliath equals theologian. See, he's a fighter. He was born a fighter, and he's been a fighter from his youth, and you're no match for him. And his brother said, "Oh, you naughty thing, come out here to do such a thing as that. Get on back home." His brother's scolding him. That didn't bother him. Why? He knew he was anointed. And he circles, he underlines that a lot, because that is something very important, knowing that one has been anointed by God. There is nothing and no one on this earth that can stop an anointed of God. Nothing, no one. Because he is led by God, he was anointed by God, and everything that that man does, and everything that he speaks, that's thus says the Lord, the God that delivered me from that lion, the God that delivered me from the paws of that bear. Now he goes and bases what he's going to do on what he has done. Everything, notice, must have something for us to base it on. He based what he was going to do on Scripture. Which Scripture? The things that he had done. Why? Because by being an anointed of God, he was fulfilling Scriptures, and everything he was doing was the fulfillment of Scriptures, making history. May God help us to make it a good history, and later have something to base the things we speak on. using the history we have made. Now, remember that there is an amnesty period. There is an amnesty period where you can erase the fines that they give you while driving, when there's a period of time where they give you an opportunity and you don't have to. Sometimes they erase them all. Other times you pay less, or when you have to turn in some weapons, that happens there as well. There is a period of time in which that open a window is opened when you can turn them in. It's called an amnesty period in different matters and things. Now notice, it is the story that he was carrying out in his life, which later was showing, reflecting what he would do with that bigger animal, two-legged one, or a beast, because that is what it was. But notice, he was showing what he would do later on by killing the bear, the lion. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be such a big beast, a two-legged one. It can be a smaller beast, but still two-legged, a human one, which is the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin. It doesn't have to be a giant, because in this time, well, they are smaller. That serpent's race has been shrinking. And it's the same thing, because what identifies him is what's inside, which seed he comes from. The God that delivered me from that lion, the God that delivered me from the paws of that bear, heal more than that, deliver me from that Philistine. Here I come, I meet you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Amen. He didn't pray through. He was already prayed through. God prayed him through before the foundation of the world. Whoa. And that had already been set in stone. Do you know what that means? That God has prayed us through before the foundation of the world to give us the victory at this time? Because victory is guaranteed. But we are already starting to understand why. Well, it's because God already prayed for that victory. He was anointed for the job. He had to speak and go forward. That's all there was to do about it. Just speak and go forward. And he writes there, just speak. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say there, and then notice that young man who had been anointed and who continued to be a shepherd of sheep was the one who went to face the showdown at that time, and he faced Goliath and defeated him. Now look, there is a place here where he also wrote to us in a notebook, and he writes, the revelation of the end of the world. Here the promise of Revelation 3:21 will be fulfilled. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He will be like David, the eighth son of Jesse, who was anointed as king over Israel, the eighth son of Jesse, born in Bethlehem in Judea, the eighth messenger born in Christ, Christ in his angel, and he writes, the word, the logos, will be on earth fulfilling his promises, and no one, and he left it at that. Where will that eighth son of Jesse be fulfilling his promises? On earth. Now, he goes on to say, and that is the showdown here, which Christ will face in his final manifestation. This showdown in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, where it tells us, speaking of the beast that will fight against the Lamb, it says, let's see, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Who? The ten kings. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now notice, he also left written for us here in a notebook as well, under the seventh seal, there will be a new government on this earth, it is the government of the kingdom of God being established in the midst of Israel, and the Messiah sitting on the throne of David, reigning over Israel and over all the nations. All of those are prophecies, notice, which would be fulfilled at this end time. It is the message that is brought through that eighth son of Jesse. And one might say, but what is the message? Because a messenger cannot come without a message. The message is his presence, the things that he is going to be doing. That is the message, because the platform and everything that was brought by Reverend William Branham, by Dr. William Soto, and by all the messages and the prophecies of the Bible is the introduction letter. It is the platform, the foundation of what he would be carrying out. And he would then be the message of that time. We are the message of this time. Each one of us, the fulfillment of that word. Now, he goes on to say, meaning that the beast along with those 10 kings will rise up against Jesus Christ in the final manifestation of Jesus Christ. If it is in the last manifestation of Jesus Christ, then it must be an instrument who is alive among the people of God, among the human race, for that showdown, his last manifestation. Well, you cannot say that in his last manifestation in Reverend William Branham or in Dr. William Soto Santiago, because none of them had that last manifestation. None of them was that man who fulfilled that. That showdown didn't take place with them. That manifestation didn't take place with them. Meaning, that manifestation of the wicked one against them. And they were not the manifestation, the final manifestation for that. Now, look, in the message, the God of this evil age, because he says, that is, the beast, along with those 10 kings, will rise up against Jesus Christ in the last manifestation of Jesus Christ. But they won't know, let's finish that paragraph, but they won't know that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They won't know that mystery. They won't know that he is already the king, that he is Lion. But they won't know that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They will rise up against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On page 39 of this message, the God of this evil age, Reverend William Branham says, also, notice, Christ's word bride is heading up. Also, as we see where the Antichrist is heading, begin back there and now coming to the head, a ecumenical council will put it to an ecclesiastical head, and the little church that's come along, also Christ's word bride down through the age, is coming to a head. And he draws a cornerstone and the arrow towards the cornerstone and the ages. Because she is going to be united back to its mate, always, just like the church and everything else, it's got to unite. The wheat, everything else, comes right back to its head, where it started from, like Cain and Abel, word bride heading up to the person of the Word of God made manifest in this evil age that we are living. See where it's heading up? And he draws a Star of David there to the right and the cornerstone and the ages. And Satan will soon take his intellectual bride and exalt this great one, which is the Antichrist. Because notice, on page 146 of the Book of the Seals, it says, and at the same time that this devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes down incarnate man, which is the Antichrist, the hierarchies, and set him upon a throne. And the whole world will wander after him. The whole world will wander after that instrument, in whom the beast, the Antichrist, will be incarnate, and then Christ will come, and two cannot exist in the same time. In other words, It is a time when good and evil will be on earth. And since it is a change of kingdom, either the kingdom of the Gentiles will continue under the influence of the fifth dimension, or God will establish that messianic kingdom already. But we already know that that messianic kingdom will soon prevail. That kingdom which will be established in Israel and for all mankind, because the entire planet Earth will be ruled by Israel. And his kingdom will be taken, he'll be destroyed. And Christ, the Word of God, which the woman is a part of a man's body, they are not two, they are one. And the bride, church, word, a people called out from here and there, for his name's sake, will unite in the body of Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of the Antichrist will be taken and destroyed, and Christ shall take throne and sit upon the throne of his father David and reign upon the earth for 1,000 years, then present the church to God without spot or blemish. And he writes there the throne of David to the right. Now notice, also here, in what we read a few minutes ago, of this writing, where he said, he is the heir, but he has to fight for that throne of David. In other words, that has already been determined by God, by divine decree, that has already been determined, but he has to fight. There will be struggles, but don't you worry, we will obtain the victory, and we will obtain that fulfillment of that promise of the restoration of the throne and kingdom of David. Now, he goes on to say, but they will be thinking that they will be rising up against someone who will be in the stage or dispensation of the manifestation of Christ as Lamb of God and as High Priest. See? They will be thinking that they are rising up against a person. Notice, because the attack is always against God's anointed one in every age and in every dispensation. But look, they will be thinking, because for 2,000 years it has been preached that God is love, the Lamb of God, and all of that. And they see that instrument and they will think, and he says, they will be thinking that they are rising up against a person who will be in a stage or dispensation of the manifestation of Christ as the Lamb of God and as High Priest, that is, under the dispensation of grace. But since they don't understand the change in dispensation, they don't understand that the dispensation of grace has already ended, well, they see, look, even inside, there are some people who say, but he never said anywhere that we were changing dispensations, and they are thinking that we are still living in the dispensation of grace, even of those who are inside. Imagine those outside who don't understand anything about dispensations. But they won't realize that Christ will be manifested as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Lion of the tribe of Judah. In the message, Why Little Bethlehem? On page 9, he tells us, David, who seemed to be the of all of Jesse's 7 sons, and he writes 7 sons on the right, he was the last one to be brought before the prophet, and he writes 8 sons. Why, even his own folks could have laughed. They couldn't imagine a little rooted-looking David, a little stooped-shouldered, rooted-looking man to be the man that will be the king of Israel. He might not have looked like a king to those people, but he sure must have looked like it to God, because he anointed him king anyhow. See, he took the symbol of David, or Jesse's family, to make kings. Something that the world had turned down, he had turned, sent him back to take care of the sheep. He brought forth his first son, a great, strong, stately looking man, probably couldn't stand erect and look like a king of Israel. And that's the one they thought would look good with a crown on his head. That's the one would lead, wear the kingly garment, and could pack the staff, and whatever must be done to a king. He looked good to the eyes of the people. And there on the left upwards, he writes, David, son of the family of Jesse. That is David, son of the family of Jesse, the eighth son of Jesse. But the prophet, with the anointing oil in his hand, said, "Haven't you got another one?" And he brought them, one by one, until finally he said, "Haven't you got another one?" He said, "I've got one." And he writes, "the eighth." But perhaps he wouldn't be nothing. He's just a little dried up sort of a fellow. We got him there, herding the sheep. And he writes there, "shepherd of sheep." Now, notice, he wouldn't be nothing. He didn't even look like he could be a king. Looks can be deceiving, as the saying goes. He writes there on the left, "the seven sons of Jesse and the seven ages." He said, "go, get him." And as soon as he fell in the eyes of the anointed prophet, he poured the oil upon his hand, his head, and ran to meet him, said, "This is the one God shows. See? See? It's not tinsel always of the world. It's God's choosing." And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes, "Who will sit with Christ on the throne of David in the kingdom of God on earth?" And his throne? The throne of David is the throne that Adam lost, and he left it at that. In other words, there is someone for God to fulfill that promise. Now, he goes on to say there, because they won't understand, that is, they won't understand Christ's change from lamb to lion and to King of kings and Lord of lords. In the book of quotations, here on page 143, he tells us from the paragraph 277, he says, "And now it had the picture taken many times, and it hangs in Washington, D.C. as a copyright in the Religious Hall of Art as the only supernatural being that was ever scientifically proven to be photographed. The pillar of fire, exactly the same look," and he writes logos, "and every way that brought Israel out of Egypt, I believe it's Jesus Christ in spirit form in the sonship of God, for he was called Son of Man when he came first. Now he is called Son of God. In the millennium, he'll be the Son of David." And he writes on the left, "the millennium," and right above that, a bit further up, he wrote on the left, "the pillar of fire. He comes, Son of Man, a prophet, as was spoke of him. Now he is Son of God, in supernatural, in the great millennium." And he writes on the left, "millennium," and on the right, a Star of David. In the great millennium that's to come, he'll be Son of David, sitting on the throne of David. And at the top, he writes three sentences: Son of Man, Prophet, Son of God, Spirit, Son of David, in the millennium, the Spirit incarnate. And in order for the Spirit, a Spirit cannot be crowned. In order to be crowned, well, it must have a veil of flesh. That is why he says on page 134 of the Book of the Seals, when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes what? Incarnate. And there, in that manifestation, that eighth Son of David, who will sit on the throne and kingdom of David. David, the eighth Son of Jesse. We can sing a song which we sang last Sunday. Sister Sharon Rivera can come up and sing that song that we sang last Sunday. Let's see if they have it ready. The last one that we sung, or the first one that we sung, we can sing the first one that we sung there. It was it, I give my soul? I give you my soul? Let's stand and ask our sister Sharon Rivera to sing that song to us, I give you my soul. Notice, just as David gave his entire life when he was anointed, and he reigned, as you saw there, over Israel for those years, I give you my soul.
Te entrego.
All right.
Entregamos nuestra alma,
we give our soul and all our being at the feet of the Lord.
Nos rendimos a él,
we surrender to Him
para que él
so that He may use us
sin limitaciones,
without limitations.
Y
and
lo hemos
we have
coronado,
crowned Him by recognizing Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His claiming work. And now, let's live with us in this subject, David, the eighth son of Jesse, anointed as King of Israel, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.